Hey, Leo here for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how learning equals observation. Observation is a dying art. A quote from Stanley Kubrick. A while back, I released an episode called Learning Equals Behavior Change. A lot of you guys liked that episode. It was a pretty important one. It was a very practical one, I think, for many people. Opened a lot of people's eyes. But in that episode, I told you that that was just one perspective on learning and that I have other perspectives that I need to share with you, perhaps as important, if not more important than that one. So here we are. The reason we're talking about learning from multiple perspectives is because, in a sense, learning is what life is all about. It's central to everything that you want in your life. You want to construct a good life. You want good relationships. You want business success. You want spiritual success. You want personal development. Whatever you're doing, you're learning. If you're not a lifelong learner, you're not getting anywhere. So if you want some meta advice for your life, learn how to learn. Become a rock star learner. And if you want to do that, then it helps to look at learning from different perspectives. Because learning is a complex thing, and there's a lot of different stuff that you could learn in life. So here's another perspective for you. The deepest learning happens through observation. That's it. That's the whole lesson. It's very simple. But precisely because it is so simple, it's easy to overlook. And it's easy to not implement in your life and not to see the results of it. So what is observation? It's simple. You just look at a thing for a very long period of time, steadily, diligently, with focus. That's it. You look at a thing without an agenda. That's it. So for the purpose of this episode, observation, you can equate it with awareness, if you want to think of it that way, and with consciousness. Although I like using the word observation because once we start to use the word awareness or consciousness, it becomes a little bit abstract and it becomes a little bit like far-fetched. It's like, oh, awareness is some mystical thing out there somewhere. Whereas observation, it's like, observation is simple. Observation is what happens when you look through a telescope or you look through a microscope or you go and you look at some chimps in a zoo, like maybe a research scientist would do. That's observation. It's very simple. You just look at a thing. What isn't observation? Thinking, reading, listening to a lecture, watching a video, memorizing facts, doing or action, trying to fix a thing, manipulation, daydreaming, trying to figure it out, training, and behavior change. These are not observation. These are something else. And that's precisely why it's challenging, is because we're very tempted by our culture and just by our innate inclinations to do all this other stuff instead of observing. And one of the biggest challenges you're going to have when you sit down to observe a thing is that all this other stuff will come up that you're going to try to do instead, because your mind will rationalize it away and say, well, if I'm just sitting there observing something, I'm wasting a lot of time. I could be figuring something out. I could be training. I could be improving myself. I could be reading a book or whatever. Or I could be thinking about this thing. And that's exactly the thing you need to avoid in order to observe successfully, which is why observation is such a rare thing. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you actually sat and looked at an object for 5 hours straight without an agenda? Ever? Probably never. Be honest with yourself. When was the last time you did that? See? So immediately this shows you that what I'm talking about here, even though it's very simple, is something that's actually foreign to you. It's not something you ever do. So be careful about prejudging what I'm talking about. See, the mistake here, you have to be very careful, is that it sounds like I'm just talking about and making a very simple, shallow point. Like, oh, observation. Oh, that's it. Leo, what's next? Come on, give me something more advanced. Give me some mind-blowing, abstract thing that I could use, some technique, some theory about something, you know? Actually, this right here is very profound. But you're going to have to practice a little bit of doing this to see the profundity of it. You know, this reminds me of what I think is one of the most remarkable people in human history, which is Leonardo da Vinci. And when I think about Leonardo da Vinci, if you ever study him, study some of his work and some of the stuff he's accomplished, he's really a remarkable guy because he was able to go both deep and also broad in life. Like, he was able to study and develop military machines and also do art and painting and the Mona Lisa and sculpture and anatomy and biology and botany. Like, oh, it's just all this stuff. He was able to do everything. How was he able to do that? In many ways, he's sort of the poster child of self-actualization. But when I think about Leonardo da Vinci and I try to boil down his essence to like one thing, what was it about him that made him so remarkable? To me, it all boils down to his remarkable ability to just observe. That thread runs through all of his work. And really, I think it defines his entire life. If you wanted to put one phrase on his tombstone, it would be something like Leonardo da Vinci, the masterful observer. Because in everything, he was just so meticulous in the way he observed it. And I can almost imagine him sitting there just like with a little leaf or a bug or an insect or a tree or something and just like looking at it as though looking at it through a microscope. I don't think they had microscopes back then, but he would just look at it very steadily. And I didn't get the sense that he was trying to do that in order to, you know, to push some agenda, to accomplish something, but just because he was innately curious about observing what the hell the thing was. Without taking it for granted, without jumping to conclusions about it, without just settling for a label like, oh yeah, it's a maple leaf, as though calling it a maple leaf really tells you anything about what it is or about the details of what's on it. How is it that simply looking at a thing could change anything in your life? What is this power that observation has? Over the last year, it's been remarkable. I've been observing, myself observing, and it's been like magic. I've been noticing how observation just in and of itself is a superpower. There's something about awareness or about consciousness that when awareness or consciousness just simply sits still and is focused on itself or some aspect of itself, that it has an intelligence of its own and it has a creativity, a very deep creativity that's just like baked into awareness, such that it doesn't need to concoct something, it doesn't need to think, it doesn't need to figure anything out, it doesn't need to train anything or do anything with something, it doesn't need to manipulate. Just by observing a situation, you learn. You spontaneously learn. This just happens to be how the human mind is wired. I think it's a very profound aspect of reality, actually. I think it goes way deeper than just the human mind or even the brain. I think that really all intelligence is predicated upon this at a very deep level. It's the fact that awareness has this capacity, this magical capacity, this almost supernatural capacity, which largely goes unrecognized in Western culture. It's because of this that we are actually able to get all our creativity and all our higher level thinking and all what we call human intelligence and rationality, all that logic, all of that is ultimately predicated upon this very primordial quality of awareness of just making spontaneous insights and interconnections through simply observing something. And this is difficult to convey to people because people think that, well, but Leo, if I just look at a leaf or something, I've seen it. What more could there be? It's like, I've seen it. Okay, I spend 5 minutes looking at it, but then I've basically got it, right? And the answer is no. If you want to experience the full magic of what I'm talking about, the profundity of it, you have to sit there and look at it for a very, very long time, very patiently, without demanding anything of this process. You don't just sit there looking at the leaf like, okay, how is this going to make me richer? How is this going to self-actualize me? How is this going to do anything for me? How is this growing me? Not like that. Because when you're doing that, that's ego getting in the way of this very primordial function of awareness of just... See, what awareness does, it picks up these distinctions. I don't know if it picks them up or if it creates them or if it's a kind of a back and forth process, but it's just incredible to me how this happens. Something magical happens when you just look at a thing for a very long period of time. Of course, you're going to contemplate as you look at it too. Questions will arise. New insights will come to you. You might sit there looking at a leaf for an hour. And then, you know, by at one point in that hour, it's just like something's going to strike. It's like, oh, I could use, maybe this leaf will be a logo for my business. Or it's like, this leaf will be a research project for my biology class. Or this is a leaf I could draw. I could put it on my music album. Or something like the veins in the leaf remind me of the neurons in the brain. And also remind me of the structure of a galaxy. And remind me of the way that atoms work. Or something like that. Your mind is going to make these interconnections simply by observing. And also, not just these interconnections and insights, because that's like the creativity part, but also you're going to see the leaf in a different way. What you're going to get after a while of doing this is you're going to get unmediated access to reality, which is a rare thing. Most of us assume that we have unmediated access to reality, but we don't, because we're so language and logic oriented as a culture, as a species, that everything we look at is really just an augmented reality. We project a lot of stuff. We project our self-biases, our emotions, our desires, our own meanings and significances. We're looking at objects. And even the fact that you're looking at an object, the only reason you're looking at an object in the first place is because somewhere latently in the back of your mind, your subconscious mind has figured out that, hey, this object would serve you in some way to look at. Otherwise, you're not looking at it. You're not noticing it. 90% of stuff in your life, you don't even notice. You don't think twice about. So when you actually get to look at an object for a long period of time and you can kind of break through all the concepts, all the abstractions, all the labels, all the words, all the stuff that comes from your culture that you think you know about this maple leaf, for example, then eventually you get to an unmediated access of this maple leaf. And that's a thing that many people have never experienced in their life. Observation is also powerful because it's unself-biased. A lot of your perceptions are very biased by the fact that you're a self, you're an ego, and you're going about life doing stuff that you want to do, pursuing your own goals, avoiding fears and perceived threats from the environment. You're just constantly doing this with everything. You're doing this socially, you're doing this in your business, you're doing this in your relationships, you're doing this with your money, with your entire day. And when you just observe, if you do it right, then you break past this self-bias that we tend to have. Observation also allows us to transcend language, logic, and monkey mind. A lot of very good scientists make the mistake of assuming that the only access they have to reality is through their senses and through language, logic, and the monkey mind. They don't realize that there's actually something much deeper at work. There's this primordial awareness, which sits underneath language, logic, and monkey mind, and that this gives you a much clearer picture of reality and how it works. The greatest scientists actually tap into this, people like Leonardo da Vinci. He was a great scientist. He was able to tap into it. And the essence of science, the reason science is so much applauded these days, and a lot of skeptics hold up science as much superior to superstition and religion, is precisely because science, the one thing that it really got right is placing empiricism at the center of it. And empiricism really is just about very accurate perception of the raw sense data of which reality consists. So that's a step in the right direction. What I'm saying is that really, you got to take empiricism to a whole deeper level. So science is getting something right because it's based on empiricism, but still, a lot of science is still very conceptual, model-based, simulation-based, language-based, logic-based, mind-based. And this is actually a mistake. If you want to become a great scientist, then you have to get really, really good at transcending all that shit and just observing whatever you're talking about. I mean, of course, in certain sciences, this is easier than others. Like, it's easier to do that in anthropology, maybe, than it is to do it in quantum mechanics, because it's hard to observe stuff in quantum mechanics. Although still, the most tangible developments in quantum mechanics, where do they come from? They come from the large hadron colliders and particle colliders around the world. And what are those but just very, again, very meticulous and careful observation devices? See? So the foundation of science is really empiricism. But then you can apply that to your personal life as well. And then you'll see amazing results in your personal life if you become a very good observer. Observation is a rare thing in our society. Here's why. There's a host of reasons. Firstly, because it's counterintuitive. Because when you first start to observe a thing, you don't have a good skill in it, so you suck at it. And so unless you have the foresight to develop this skill, you're not going to get very far. You're going to quit. You're going to start doing something else. You're going to get distracted. Observation doesn't have an immediate short-term payoff the way that manipulation does. Why do people manipulate so much? Because it gives you an immediate payoff. And of course, we know that people love their immediate payoffs. Whereas if I tell you just sit there and observe a maple leaf for 5 hours, you're going to be like, Leo, why the fuck would I observe a maple leaf for 5 hours? What is that going to do for me? And the answer is, I don't know what it's going to do for you. And neither do you. And maybe it won't do anything for you. At least not right now. Maybe if you observe it for 100 hours, something magical will happen. But for the first 5 hours, maybe nothing will happen. Maybe you'll think you're wasting your time. And that's what most people think it is. It's just wasting their time. And of course, it's counterintuitive because people are addicted to manipulation. We're just pressured into manipulating everything in our lives because of the society and culture we live in, that we think that that's the appropriate way to interact with reality. It's just constant manipulation. What's in it for me? What's in it for my team? What's in it for my country? And this is the opposite of what you want to do if you want to really develop yourself to the highest levels as a human being. Observation is rare because it's just too simple. When something is so simple and so obvious, usually you find that nobody does it. Observation is rare because it requires lots of focus, patience, and overcoming boredom, which today is going to deter 99.999% of people. Because today, if something requires focus, patience, and going through boredom, no one's going to do it, basically. That's what our culture has devolved down into. Speaking of culture, another reason that observation is rare is because our culture values knowing, thinking, and acting, not unbiased observing. Our culture rewards and pays for people who claim to know, experts, thinkers, people with solutions and ideas, not simply observers. And this is really a shame. And this, of course, is reflected in our education system, which is another reason why observation is so rare, because it's not actually taught in school. Nobody taught you to observe. What was your school about? School was about memorizing stuff, passing tests, doing homework assignments, getting grades, reading books, doing projects, having answers in class, knowing a bunch of stuff, thinking, maybe a little bit acting, and that's about it. But no one told you about observation. Well, that's why you have actualize.org. So how do you develop observation? It's simple. You just sit and you closely look at an object. You look at it for its own sake, trying to drop all your agenda, while you get very curious about the being, the substance of the object, or what it actually is, the reality of it, the truth of it, whatever that happens to be. And you try not to prejudge it, or to have some imagined idea of what it should be or what it actually is. You try to drop all those as much as you can. You also try to drop all manipulation, drop all your thoughts as much as you can, and just sit there and be very still, looking at it. Relax your mind, relax your body, and yet stay alert. Don't get sleepy. And that's the whole process. And then you just practice that every day for however many hours you want to practice it. You just practice, practice, practice. You can get so kind of good at it, I guess, that you just kind of walk through your day starting to be in that kind of observer mode rather than the other kind of modes that you're usually in. And then it's not so much a hassle. So I don't know that you need to actually sit down and create a 1 hour observation habit every single day. I don't think that that's necessary, although you could do that if you wanted to. In a sense, that's what meditation is supposed to be. But a lot of times when we talk about meditation, this whole word, this label, this idea of meditating, it comes with all this baggage because it's got the spiritual baggage behind it. And you're using it for enlightenment, or you're using it to relax, or you're using it to accomplish something. And so in a sense, meditation is just observation. But it helps to think of observation as its own thing, because you can kind of get into this mechanical mode of meditating. Maybe you have some technique that you're using, and then actually the technique gets in the way of just observing. The technique becomes its own self-involved thing. So if you do have a meditation habit, definitely keep it, but also double check that you're not doing it mechanically. And maybe the next week or two that you do it, try to think of it in this different light. Try to think of it as observation and not so much meditation. Maybe sit there with a maple leaf that you find outside, or a pen or a pencil, and just sit there with it and look at it, rather than doing your traditional meditation technique. You see. But mindfulness meditation with labeling, or Vipassana, these are very powerful techniques which are designed to train your observation abilities for a specific purpose. But sometimes that purpose gets in the way. So you have to be careful. If you're a total noob, actually, I recommend mindfulness meditation with labeling or doing a Vipassana retreat. That's really good. That will kind of open your eyes to some stuff when it comes to observation. But if you've been doing Vipassana now for a few years straight, you might be getting stuck in a rut. Then maybe shift a little bit and try to do some observation. And rather than just sitting there and labeling stuff, take a pen or a pencil or a maple leaf and just sit there and look at it for a few hours and see what that reveals for you. What I find for me is that my meditation practice and also my self-inquiry practice gets richer and deeper when I approach it from different angles. Now, there's a downside to that in that if I'm experimenting and dabbling in all these different meditation techniques and observation techniques and self-inquiry, all of this, it kind of gets messy and you're not really focusing enough And that can be a problem in its own right. But also, one of the advantages of that approach is that you do get multiple angles and you see how all this stuff interconnects and converges in a rich and very fascinating way. And so I recommend kind of a hybrid approach where you do it in a broad way, but then also at the end, if you really want to have some deep, deep insights, some enlightenment insights, whatever, then you go laser focused maybe on one technique for a whole retreat or for a whole month or whatever, for a whole year if you need to. But for the purposes of this episode, I don't want you to think of it as meditation. I'm not talking about meditation here. I'm talking about observation. And if you've never meditated before, that's fine. Just think of this as observation. Start to practice it a little bit here and there until you start to notice what I'm talking about. The most important thing I'm talking about here is that I want you to notice that just by observing a thing, something magical will start to happen. There's a secret power there. And if you remember my other very popular episode called Awareness Alone is Curative, I think that's one of the most important episodes for folks to watch of mine, because in that episode, I also sort of talked about this issue, how a lot of your problems in life, they actually autocorrect when you just apply the light of awareness to those problems. That's a little hard to believe until you start to really get into building up your awareness and practicing this observation stuff. So you might want to check out that episode along with this one. So what are the key things for you to observe in your life? Self-deception, self-bias, self-justification, the self in general, all the shit you do, all your shenanigans, all your dirty secrets, emotions, of course, physical objects, like I was talking about the maple leaf, the pen, the pencil, that's all good stuff. Just sitting with a physical object and really observing it can be a powerful practice. And it's actually a really good one to start with. Because when you're observing the mind is very tricky. And it's very difficult to observe the mind. It's a lot easier to start with observing physical objects. Observe also nature. Observe other people. Observing other people is difficult. You think you're observing other people, but actually you're judging them, you're criticizing them, you're arguing with them, you're manipulating them, you're using them for whatever needs you have that you need filled. That is not observation. It's really tricky with people. You got to just sit there and observe people and observe how you relate to people. That's tricky. Maybe you can go sit on a park bench and just watch people. But that's not enough. You also need to observe people that you're actually interacting with in your everyday life. Observe your spouse, observe your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your kids, your coworkers, so forth. Observe people in the news without judging them. That's really hard. It's really hard, especially these days with all the nonsense that's going on in politics and the news. Observe society, observe culture. Again, without judging it. That's not easy to do. Observe ideology. Observe tribalism. Observe belief systems. Both in yourself and in others. And again, that's not easy to do without judging it. Observe evil without judging it. That's really hard to do for a lot of people. So you got your work cut out for you. There's a lot of areas that you can apply this technique to. Now you might wonder, well, Leo, does this contradict your prior episode about learning equals behavior change? Because there you said that, hey, I didn't learn a jack shit until I changed my behavior. And now you're telling me that I just got to sit there and observe something, a stupid leaf, that doesn't change my behavior. So what's the deal here? Right. These are different perspectives. And there might be paradox and contradiction here that you're going to have to reconcile and cope with. That's fine. I think that they actually dovetail nicely together. They synergize. So learning equals behavior change is a great way to kind of force yourself to actually learn the lessons that you haven't been learning. Whereas learning equals observation is a different angle to come at it from, but ultimately it sort of leads to the same place. Because like I said in my Awareness is Curative episode, when you just observe a thing for a very long time, very patiently, you'll discover that in the end, your behavior will start to change. That's what's so remarkable about it. But that's like in the long run. In the short run, that might not happen, and that's okay. So practice learning equals behavior change for a month, then practice learning equals observation for a month, and see the pros and cons, and then see the differences, the paradoxes, and also the similarities and the synergies there. You want to be an amazing human being? Cultivate the ability to observe. Most people don't do this. On the other hand, the sages, the saints, the yogis, the mystics, the geniuses, the ancients throughout history, they were all masters of observation. That's where a lot of their power came from. And you know what the ultimate test of your observation power is? It's whether you can see the most subtle thing of all. Can you see nothingness? That's the ultimate test. Nothingness is right here, right now. You're inside of it. You are it, but you don't see it because your observation ability is so weak. It's too subtle for you to pick it up, even though it's right here as I'm speaking to you. And what I want to end on is returning to Leonardo da Vinci. Because I said that Leonardo da Vinci was a masterful observer. So let's put him to the test. Do you think he was masterful enough to pass the ultimate test? Could he see nothingness? Let me give you his answer to that. He writes, quote, "Among the great things which are found among us, the existence of nothing is the greatest. Its essence dwells between the past and the future and possesses nothing of the present. Nothingness has no center, and its boundaries are nothingness. This nothingness has the part equal to the whole and the whole to the part, the divisible to the indivisible, and it comes to the same amount whether we divide it or multiply it or add to it or subtract from it. Everything is enfolded into everything. Everything comes from everything, and everything is made out of everything, and everything returns into everything." End quote. That is from Zen Master Da Vinci. He took his observation abilities to the highest levels, and I recommend that you follow his lead. That's it. I'm done here. Remember to click that like button for me. Don't forget. Come check out actualize.org, my website. I got a blog. I keep posting a lot of cool insights on the blog, the forum, the Life Purpose course, my book list, other stuff coming in the future, and stick with me for more next week.